There was once a small town experiencing an overpopulation of squirrels. The Presbyterian Church called a meeting to decide what to do about their squirrel infestation. After much prayer and consideration, they concluded that the squirrels were predestined to be there, and they should not interfere with God's divine will. At the Baptist Church, the squirrels had taken an interest in the baptistry. The deacons met and decided to put a water slide on the baptistry and let the squirrels drown themselves. The squirrels liked the slide and unfortunately knew instinctively how to swim, so twice as many squirrels showed up the following week. The Lutheran Church decided that they were not in a position to harm any of God's creatures, so they humanely trapped their squirrels and set them free near the Baptist Church. 2 weeks later, the squirrels were back when the Baptists took down the water slide. The Episcopalians tried a much more unique path by setting out pans of whiskey around their church in an effort to kill the squirrels with alcohol poisoning. They sadly learned how much damage a band of drunk squirrels can do. But the Catholic Church came up with a more creative strategy. They actually baptized all the squirrels and made them members of the church. Now they only see them at Christmas and Easter. Not much was heard from the Jewish synagogue. They took the first squirrel and circumcised him. They haven't seen a squirrel since.
With the squirrels around your home, it was a few summers ago, and I enjoy going on our patio for devotions and reading time, and it's a cooler place because the deck above it is bringing extra shade down there, and it's a nice view of the backyard out front and the sides, and I just go out, you know, and whatever I'm wearing, barefoot, and I'm just relaxed back there. And this particular summer, there were more of those little creatures and critters running around the backyard than normally there are. And it's just something that I noticed. And in fact, that particular day, I was watching a large group of squirrels in a tree that's just right in front of me, about 25 feet. It's a big aristocrat pear tree. And I decided I'm going to count how many squirrels there are. And so they're just kind of scooting around and chasing each other high up in this tree. And I'm looking around trying to count. It's kind of hard to count them because they're moving around and getting behind branches. But I kept at it, and I finally counted 8 squirrels. You don't believe me? I counted 8 squirrels. I looked it up on Google later on. A squirrel can have 8, up to 8 in a litter. And they were a little smaller than a full-grown squirrel, so they were probably a junior high age, you know, and they were just being junior high, you know, they were just running around squirming and chasing each other. And it's kind of hard to relax because they're making so much noise and I can't really focus. And sure enough, after a little while, this one of the squirrels who's kind of leading this pack starts heading down the trunk. And the others start head down the trunk too. And then this squirrel is now hit on the ground, headed right toward me. And I jump up and throw the chair and I scream. And these squirrels just scatter and just totally disappear. Squirrels are a pound when they're full grown. These are less than a pound, but you get 8 squirrels charging at you 10 feet away and you're barefoot. You're thinking, oh my goodness, what are my feet going to look like? It will freak you out. So what's the moral of this story? It's that there's strength in numbers. And having 8 squirrels coming at you will get your attention. And this is the heart of this particular, and I believe the last part of our series, Warriors for Christ, that there's strength in numbers. And God has placed you and me in an army, not by ourselves, but in an army. This multiple mindset, being interconnected, interlinked, is a biblical mindset. I'm just going to hit a few scriptures quickly in the Old and New Testament to just drive this home, maybe scriptures you've seen before, maybe those that you haven't. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's just common sense, right? There's strength in numbers. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 24, two or three are gathered together in my name. I am there in the midst. So even in a spiritual realm, God likes to bless those in unity, seeking him together, being in one mind toward the Lord. He created this strength in numbers. He created it. And he put it together even spiritually for us in our relationships. We see Jesus using this principle. When he wanted, while he was ministering, those 3 years of his ministry on earth, he actually sent the 12 out to minister. And he sent them in pairs. It says in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and he, Jesus, called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And this is recorded in a couple of the Gospels. And they come back and they're like amazed. Look, even the demons were subject to us in your name. And this was a first round mission assignment from their captain Jesus sending them out on a mission. And then he does it again. He sends 70 out next time. So if you ever think, well, that was just the 12, they're the big apostles, and they wrote the New Testament. Yeah, that's them. No, he even sent the others kind of more average. They were all average. They were fishermen. They had no idea what they were doing. But because it says this, and he gave them power or authority over unclean spirits, you can be just regular old Jobo Kentucky boy, and you can command unclean spirits to get out of your life and break it over someone else that you're praying for. This is the authority and power that God gives us. But he sends them out in both of these scenarios in twos. It's his plan of evangelism that we're sent out in teams, pairs, and groups. Like your marriage is a team. Your family is a team. Your prayer group of ladies, your life group, these are teams God's put together, and that's his strategy of for evangelism. And he gives us his authority over evil spirits. So it's a mindset. It's a biblical mindset. So though I like this series we've been in, if it's been driving you toward, I can do it on my own, I can win the battles all by myself, I'm sorry, I didn't want you to develop that mentality. He does call us individually. He does equip us with the weapons, and we have battles we fight to by ourselves in life, yet there is an equal calling with the army of God, the body of Christ. So an aloneness mindset is what I want to break by the end of this message today. It's also the end of the series, so I'm wanting this to bring some things together for you and help you make a decision where you're going to stand. Are you standing with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the armies of host of heaven, the mightiest force in the universe? Are you on his side? This is a day to make that decision. If there's any kind of laxing back or forgotten about that, or you need to engage, this is a day of engagement. I shared about a month or so ago a personal story that I was in Pennsylvania in our front living room, and it was just a good split space to have devotions. I had this experience of where I just had this image, these few images, like a little mini movie that, I know this is a little embarrassing as a man, but Jesus was dancing with me. And it was kind of the first time I experienced something like that. And he was just showing me how much he loved me. And I was receiving his love. I was honored by that. I was amazed. And then the next little mini movie, just a few images, went to his throne room. And I rushed to the throne room and I got down on my knees and I could see that I was clothed in this, wrapped in this knighthood, this armor, shining armor with the righteousness of God. And I was kneeling down. I was saying, Jesus, my Lord, my King, I want to serve you. Send me on an assignment. I want to fight for you. And so some of you are having to revisit that God is calling you into the army. There is a battle. Sylvia read it today. There is a spiritual battle going on. The devil hates you. You have Jesus in you. He hates you. It doesn't matter who's, he just hates everybody. His aim is to kill, steal, and destroy. And I encourage you to engage and say, I volunteer in the army of God. I want you to send me out on mission. And yet, I found, even as I reflected over that vision in my life for many years, I kind of fell into a typical pattern of my favorite war movies and my hero with the sword slaying in the battle 10, 20 of the enemy all by himself. And then the Marvel movies, and I've got a cape and I can fly through and just defeat a whole set of Martians, of enemy aliens, all by myself. And there's this mentality out there that we're going to be hero by ourselves. And it's a trap, folks, because we are called with a body of Christ. We're called with an army, and we're to fight with others alongside us for them, and then for me with them. We're going to have some prayer time here at the end, a little different. We'll have the altar ministry teams. There are two of them that'll be here kind of close into the stage. But I'm going to have a couple of people on that side over a couple of way over there with some swords. And I want you to get to see the swords right now. If you can go ahead and help me get this set up, Matt. Now, swords have a powerful symbolism. And a sword can represent, since we don't walk around with them every day, they can represent a number of things. One is strength. You see somebody with a big sword in their hand, you think strength. And for a warrior, a sword says, I have strength, and that you've been given a mission, and so you're on assignment, you have this sword, you're sent out, you're to go into battle, and that you are equipped with the sword. You are equipped. You are ready. This guy is called a Scottish claymore long sword or great sword, 55 inches long. Definitely what they call a two-handed sword in that style of fighting. This next sword is one I've had for 20 years. A men's group, a Bible study men's ministry group, gave this to me. And this is a replica out of the Lord of the Rings series with Strider, the ranger sword. He killed many orcs with this sword, if you know what I mean. I love this sword. This one here is Phillips office. It's an Excalibur King Arthur sword right here. And so you're going to have a chance to hold a sword and pray and commit to the Lord Jesus, your commanding officer, your loyalty to him. This is the Roman specially designed sword with the rest of their equipment and shields. This was designed short for a one-handed sword for the quick movements that they could do there. So yes, God calls us individually. He calls us and equips us with the weapons, and we develop those weapons. And yet at the same time, it's with others. And so today you're going to be encouraged to say yes to be enlisted, volunteer in the army of God. Let's go to First People, Peter. I don't know of a book that's called First People, but First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. These scriptures are just clear instructions for all warriors in God's army. It says, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay, how about that? Be alert, be sober. It doesn't say be afraid. Be afraid of that lion. Be anxious. Be always nervous. No, no, no. Get that out of your mind, your system. That is not what alertness and soberness in mind is. You're aware. You're cautious to be aware spiritually and in your spirit for checks in your spirit for things that come to your mind that are of God or that are not of God. So you're alert, you're aware, but you can totally still receive God's peace. In fact, that's one of the best ways to hear God's voice and discernment is in His peace. So don't let that be I'm not nervous, I'm just alert. No, get that nervous anxiousness out of your thinking. Because this devil who prowls around is like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. The scriptures say that Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil is not a lion. If he appears at a lion, he's teethless. He doesn't have any teeth. He might roar real big and try to intimidate you, to try to scare you and make him think he's real big and strong, but he's toothless. He doesn't have any teeth. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not alone. We get in pity poor me parties. Look how challenging what I'm going through. Listen, other people are going through it too. Join up with them. Team up with them. Get a partner in prayer and faith. Get encouraged. Don't do this alone. I love this phrase, resist him. That means you say, stop, devil. Stop, evil spirit. This is enough. Leave. Go. You resist him. You command and instruct what's happening, and you tell it to leave in Jesus' name. Using your mouth where that sword of the Spirit comes out, the Word of God comes out. Standing firm in the faith. You remember in Ephesians 6, the passage that broke down all the armor of God, you had this phrase that said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. And it says, stand. Stand therefore. Putting on the belt of truth. So there is this repeated word, stand. And here we see it again. Listen, standing firm in the faith. We stand in Christ on the rock and we stand with one another. They strengthen us and I get strengthened and I strengthen them. I want to do a quick summary of some things you may want to recommit to. There are three battlegrounds that we are attacked in. Our flesh. What do we do with that? Well, you can't take the sword of spirit and eliminate your flesh. Your flesh lives with you. You crucify it, right? With the truths of the Word of God, you say, despite the suffering or the temptations, I am going to take up my cross daily and follow Him. The world is a temptation. The ways of the world, the temptations of the world. What do? We impact it. We influence where we go, not the world impacts us. We are sent in the world to be a light, to win souls for Christ. But when there's certain area, certain place, a certain group of friends, and they're overwhelming you, and you're realizing you're not being impacted in them, they are impacting you, then you separate from that for a season, maybe for a long time, maybe the rest of your life, but you separate and step back and say, I'm sorry, I can't engage in that. It reminds me of this old practice of mine or whatever. Listen, have discerning. Don't let the world, things you watch, listen, and people you hang around with drag you back into something that's ungodly. You impact the world. Number three, the demonic, we resist it. We put on the whole armor of God. We resist the devil, and he must flee. I'm really excited about this prayer time with the swords. You are going to be able to just take some clear stands in your life in this symbolic strength that you're having, agreeing with someone there with you. We'll also have altar ministry teams people here. Because as last Sunday was such a breakthrough in the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8 is a important scripture for all of us warriors that we need the power of God. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so sometimes, as Joel taught last Sunday, there is a refilling of that power because of whatever busyness and distractions. We just kind of drifted away. It feels far away. Lord, refresh us in your power. Fill us again with overflowing. Or maybe it's a new thing. But either way, keep seeking the power of God by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to transition to a illustration out of ancient times. I'm using as a resource a book and about ancient soldiers. It's called The Soldier Code by Duncan Ray Brannan. The subtitle is Ancient Warrior Wisdom for Modern Day Christian Soldiers. Actually heard the author speak last year at a men's retreat. It was a very powerful message. He definitely carries the strength of the Lord from a warrior's heart. He has this on audiobook as well. And so he helped illuminate some more things about the Roman Legion. But today I'm going to speak about the Spartan warrior. The Spartans were dominating on the battlefield. This would be about three centuries from 6th to 3rd century BC. And then the Roman Legion and the Roman Empire began soon after that. But Sparta was a city in ancient Greece, and it was a city-state, meaning for them, they actually were military states. So all the citizens were automatically in the military. But what they did is they had servants and slaves that worked for them out in the fields for farming and carpentry and building. And they would, have these servants and slaves doing everything else. And so the men and the boys, they were at 7 years old. The moms would give them to the state for military training. And starting at 7 years old and really through the age 30, they were in training and couldn't get married until about that time. And they would even bring soldiers back for certain battles who were 60 and 65 years old. So they didn't know how to plant a garden, but they knew how to win in battle. What was so unusual about this motivation is that you're the military state. There is no where we're fighting for a king, we're fighting for a government, and we'll be enlisted for so many years. No, we all are the state. We are Sparta, every single one of us. And this was their philosophy. This was part of their identity. The shield was actually their prized piece of their armor. And on their shields, that is actually the letter L in ancient Greek. And that would stand for the ancient Greek word Lacedaemon, which would be the name of their city. And so they had these symbols on their shield, and that also was not just El to represent who they are and who they're fighting for, but it will represent the light of heaven from their God shining on them in the battlefield, coming down. And these shields were made of wood with bronze coating on the outside and often passed down from generation to generation. So you can imagine the conversations around the dinner table. Yeah, well, that hole there was from Grandpa and such battle here where he was injured there, but he stood firm. He kept standing, and he didn't give up. And that gash there is from my dad, and this is when I fought. And, you know, you would have stories coming off of these shields of being faithful in battle, even perhaps to the point of death. This reminds me of an Old Testament passage in a situation more than once, but one so vividly clear. When Nehemiah was sent on a mission, he was exiled. He was in a faraway land country, and he was sent to go back to the land of Israel that had been overtaken by Babylon and other nations, and they had fallen, and the city's walls were in ruin, and people were just kind of, whoever was left was just living there around, and there was no city of Jerusalem that was organized with the walls of protection. Nehemiah goes back with the gifts of this king he served to bring these walls back up, and the enemies in the land hated what they were doing, and all the rumors and all the threats came together this particular one time where it says they're going to attack us, and because the walls are down, we're going to be killed, our families. And so Nehemiah says this in Nehemiah 4, verse 14, "And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And he placed them to where they would work, live, and eat, and sleep on the wall near where their house was. And so they're literally fighting for the safety of their homes, their families, and their neighbors, ones to the right and to the left. And they had to then have extra guards on post. Even those who were working would have a weapon in one hand and lift up the stones in the rebuilding with the other. And they were always alert, sober, watchful, because of the threats were real, and they were ready for the any potential attack to fight. There was no option. Either they would be wiped out completely, or they could save their wives, their children, and their neighbors. I want to say to us, we have a special identity in the body of Christ that's just as strong as Nehemiah fighting to protect their families while rebuilding the wall, just as strong as Sparta saying, we are Sparta, we will live and die for our city state. We are, well, let me tell you, we are the body of Christ. And it is kind of an unusual identity that we as a people are called the body of Jesus Christ. So he links our identity even in our horizontal relationships with him, Jesus Christ. He's in heaven on the throne, and yet by his spirit he lives with us, and we're called the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 through 21 describes this. This whole chapter does. I'm just going to take a few verses out of this. "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" See, if he's saying if they're all just individuals, then how does the body come together? He says, no, their identity, they are an individual member, but they have a specific purpose to connect to something else, to create the body, to put together the body of Christ. I love these strong terms in verse 18. "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." So where God has you in the body of Christ, it's a heavenly choice. It's you responding and say yes, and it's a divine connection to others. See, here in 1 Corinthians, this is Paul writing to a local church in the city of Corinth. It does apply to all the believers of that day in the Middle East and East Asia as a teaching, but this letter is written to a local church. And so we need to receive this as for us at Living Waters, that God has set you at Living Waters and set in the body as he is pleased. Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So as soon as you say, oh, you know, forget that, forget them, I have no need of that or them. As soon as you say that, you're actually going against a mindset. I can handle it by myself. I don't need somebody else. I've got the armor of God. As soon as you just say, you've just defied your identity as being in the body of Christ, connected with the divine connection with others God has put you together with. There's this phrase out of Sparta, with or on this. And that's our subtitle for today. And actually, this soldier that we've had on our title slide is from a Sparta movie. I believe that's Brad Pitt. I don't know if you could see it on his face or not, huh? I haven't seen the movie, but anyway. There's that round shield. There are the spears. And I want to tell you more about their genius and their dedication, and what they poured their dedication into was the phalanx. And the phalanx was a formation of completely unified, in a sense, tied together warriors, where they would take these shields. And you had to be a right-handed soldier for this formation. The shield was in your left, so you're covering your body here on the left. So what's about your right side? It's exposed. So the other soldier to your right was protecting you with his shield. So the shield on your left arm was half protecting your neighbor, your warrior on the flank left. Then your right flank was protecting you. And then these long spears, some of the longest ones you've seen in old military format, was so long that this is how they would layer them out. They'd have three or four deep, and the spears are coming out. So there was layered spears out front, and then there were even the ones angled up for a cavalry attack if they were coming up higher. And these long spears were so long they had a sharp point on the bottom of it as well to dig in the ground to secure it for any cavalry attack. And if it broke, then they could turn it around and still use their spear on the other end. But the whole phalanx and the strategy of it and success of it depended on you standing with the person next to you. If you did get killed, the person behind, they had a system where the gap would be filled up from the person behind, boom, instantly, and they would keep moving forward in power and strength. And so the shield was the key to the protection and the strength of the unity, everyone being protected, themselves and one another. And so you didn't go home without your shield. If you went home without your shield, that means you dropped it and ran from the phalanx. That means you didn't stand firm and faithful in the fight. And so the moms would say this to their sons as they went to battle. Either with or on this. When you come back with your shield, meaning you stayed faithful in the fight, or you stayed faithful to the end and your body is being brought back on your shield. And I want to challenge you today that we are joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. To not think so individually, it's just about me and my family. No, you are divinely connected in the army of God. Romans 12 says this, rejoice, Romans 12 verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So have you connected yourself in the body of Christ in such a way that you can weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice? This goes both ways. It's mutual. Where you might even be in a small group, which is a structure that helps this to happen. Right now, you're sitting and listening to a preacher preach the word. It's one of the formats that Jesus did in the New Testament. It's one of the New Testament practices. And yet you're looking at someone's back of the head. It's not in the circles or the tables where discipleship happens in little circles and round tables and living rooms where you get to see each other. So it's both, do you know that someone is rejoicing over something? Do you know so you can rejoice with them? Do you know them? Do you know their life? Are you listening? Are you aware? Do you rejoice in their family additions as far as things that are happening in the family or promotions in their job or things they're praying for? And for the first time, God break through with this. Do you know someone and people that you or weep with? That you know what they're going through because you're close, you're listening. And then, do they know you? Because you can be in a small group, it's a better structure for this to happen, and you not reveal the joys or the sorrows in your life. The structures help, but it's still a choice that we make to be known and to know others. I'm going to read something that I understand came from Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody in the late 1800s was like the Billy Graham of our nation and even then the world. And I'm going to read this and I'm going to say, let these words inspire you to your own commitment to Christ, but how you can bless others around you. He, interestingly enough, he's the one that really started Sunday school concept, reaching children in small groups. He's the one that started YMCA, and he had evangelism just bursting out of Chicago. There's all kinds of educational institutions there now. It's entitled, I Am a Soldier. I am a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I either will retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach children, work with youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or prepped up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my need. I am more than a conqueror. I always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot wear me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in his army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier. Marching heaven bound, here I stand. Will you stand with me? Amen. So that's Dwight L. Moody, but you hear that as from the Spirit of God. We are soldiers, you men and women who have been trained in the military. You have that mindset. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I don't need to be pampered. I am there. I am ready. Every time there is an order given by my authorities, I am ready. Listen, that's the body of Christ. That's the army of God. And we call out, the Spirit calls out, will you stand with each other? Will you stand with me? Because we're not designed to stand alone in this life. When we said yes and volunteered in the army of God, it was to be in the army. Not a lone soldier without others to come alongside. So I'm going to ask the altar ministry teams if you two would come down in here. And then those of you who are going to help with praying with people with these swords, if you could go ahead and come and just kind of pick a sword here, a couple of you over here, and then I'll be at one as well, and I'll go to one of the sides as well. Go ahead and just come up here and grab a sword, or you want to pick one out, Larry, and I'll give it to you. These right here? Well, if you're one station, just one sword per station, yeah. Want this one here? So are you with Larry? Yeah, you're with, I think you're with Larry there. All right. Ed, I thought you were going to help me with this. Pick your weapon. You want the big one. Over here. Dolores, go ahead and grab our sword. You and I will go over there. This is for ladies too, folks, right? You're in the battle just as much as anyone else. And Dolores, head over on that side, okay? You know what's in your heart, what you need to pray over in your life. You want someone to agree with you. You don't want to be alone in this step you're taking as a soldier in the army of God. And so you just need to say yes to God. Here are some things that, again, I want you to stay open to. One is the altar ministry teams are here for any need in your life. They want to agree with you. Here, the Rocks and Beth and Buddy, but you... If you haven't been prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the release of the power in your life, filling and release, any Sunday is good, but let's keep going. Don't put that on delay and hold. when you've been sensing God, yes, I want that. I want more of that. I want the gifts of the Spirit. Then come down for that this morning. And here's some things with the sword that may really help you. One is, some of you just need to have this heart of a warrior, the warrior's mission, and say, yes, I volunteer with the big yes. Go ahead and put that up there. Thank you. You volunteer with the big yes. You're not going to hold back and just wait and see what happens as far as demonic attack and evil around your family and friends. You're going to say, yes, I'm volunteering. I'm jumping in. Number two, I declare victory as we resist the devil. And that might be why you're coming down. You're asking someone to join you as you resist the devil. We'll hear your prayer. We'll join in. We'll add to your prayers. And so you have this, in a sense, being sent out in pairs, being sent out with a divine connection with someone on your left, on your right, but on the right protecting you, and you're protecting them. And then three, pledge to fight for one another in our church family. You just want to break the individualistic mindset. Well, I really don't need others. I don't need these church friends and these small groups and whatever. That you want to break that, and you want to pledge to fight for one another. That your shield is to cover the one next to you as well. But you be led by the Spirit. This is time between you and our victorious Lord Jesus, who's already gone before us, and he died on the cross, shed his blood, so this great obstacle of darkness and sin over our minds, over beings, can be completely washed when we repent for my sins and turn to him. Oh, wash me clean, forgive me my sin. He is victorious over sin, a victorious warrior, and he washes us clean. That he not only washes us clean, but he rose from the grave, and we believe that he rose from the dead, then we can receive his resurrection power. So he defeated death. So when you die, you don't go to hell and God's judgment, but you have eternal life with him. Another victory of his that he gives to us. Oh, thank you, victorious Jesus. And yet there's battles that we face sometimes day in and day out that God doesn't want you alone in fighting those battles. And he is designed for you to be battling with someone else. You're needed in the army of God. You're one of the parts of the body. You're needed. You're one of the feet. You're one of the hand. You're needed. The body's not complete without you. We need you to be connected to us. So during this song, just wait on the Lord there in your seat. And as soon as you know what type of ministry you want to engage in, you just come forward and receive. I'm just going to let you go through a song, Stephen, and then you can bless people. At the end of that song, I'm going to be hopefully praying for people. And then you just keep leading worship as the evening, morning goes on here. It's not evening yet. Now, we might be here that long. Let's do this. Let's seek God.
Heart. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore.